to take a personal day so I can get paid. I don't know. So
I'll let you figure that out.
Yeah, but yeah.
Ask questions, because then there's also some labor issues too if you're doing a pay job and not getting paid. So
right. Okay. I'd imagine there'd be something if a waiver.
Come on.
Because we're all town, good town employees, like, you know.
For the day.
For the day.
Yeah.
You can talk to her now, Bob. Hey, Kristen.
Hey, Kristen.
Hi, guys.
Oh, boy, you don't sound good, kiddo.
I don't feel good.
All right. We'll try to make this fairly
quick. You seem better this morning when we chatted. You look
I
like
was.
You...
Yeah. I just so everybody know, I have COVID again. And I work today and, well...
From home,
I'm in a sleeping bag. Yeah, I'm home. I have to be. I'm in quarantine.
Yeah. Oh,
so sorry, right. I can't get on through my computer. So this is what I got. Sorry.
Okay. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, I don't think you heard Ross's comment. He said he was happy for your dedication and sorry that you're sick.
Thank you, Ross.
Can I make a suggestion? Sure. You start the meeting yet? Would you consider moving 5D up into the beginning of the meeting so Christy could participate in the fourth meeting?
5D?
There is no.
Yes. I'm not moving 5D, I can tell you that much right now. 5C?
I'm 4C for the same. Mine doesn't have a
D on it. good idea. And yeah, we'll do
that. Yours has the disappearing ink.
Remember that.
All right. I think we're probably ready to go here. It's almost 7:20. And we found out that Alex won't be here. Emily, I know, had planned on being here, but has responsibilities with her new job. So she is not here.
You probably want to do 4C, and then if Kristen wants to be part of the discussion for 5C, that way you know, she gets done.
Thank you, guys.
Move 4C and 5C up to the front of the agenda at some point.
That would be appropriate.
We'll do it after public participation. Where would you like it? I'll make the motion.
Yeah, let's do it now.
Motion that we move item 4C, Board of Education update, And item 5C under new business, list of Board of Education and town reductions to be the third item on here after public participation.
A second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So moved, literally. There's we have Kristen, and we have CDC recording. So unless you have something else to say, Kristen and Pam Sawyer, any comments?
Yeah, I do. I'd like to thank from the Board of Selectmen, Emily Bradley, for her dedication and her time and expertise to given to the town as a volunteer, elected employee, elected official, and I'm very grateful for all of her work and her strong leadership.
So noted. We're going to probably have some additional accolades for her when we get around to the reorder agenda here. So any other comments from the public? You're still part of the public right now. Anyway. Okay. Let's go on with the approval of minutes. This has gone on far too long.
No, you were going to do 4C and 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So due to Kristen's situation, let's take 4C, the BO update. I don't know if everyone's reviewed, hopefully they have. Kristen, do you have any comments you'd like to do?
I'd just like to report that the budget is currently 5% expended for this year. We did not have any transfers in July and August. I do want to remind the board, I know this is no one's favorite statement, but special ed is ever changing and it continues to be. Our custodians did an amazing job all summer getting schools ready. We had a great opening of school. The energy was electric and it was great to see and have the kids feel that. And the staff as well. We have already had staffing changes. Not only did we deal with a lot of hiring and staffing changes over the summer, but we are still in the midst of staffing changes. And we still have staffing issues. So I guess stay tuned more on that as we continue to try to fill open positions.
Questions, observations on that comment? Kristen, I had, I forget where I heard it from, but I guess it was a consequence of something that the BOE put out. Was I correct in understanding that over 13 new teachers were hired for this year?
Yeah, and still hiring. So yeah, we have quite a few new staff. I will say though, we've hired some, always sad to see staff either retire or go to other places for sure. You know, I will share with the board that we had a number of staff who had intended to spend their entire career in Bolton, but they had some very generous offers to the tune of anywhere between $12,000 and $22,000 more a year in a teacher world. That is a lot of money to go to other not so far away districts. So I just want to make the board aware of that. We also were able to hire some amazing new staff, both new, brand new, fresh out of school, as well as veteran staff from other places, who actually took a pay cut to come to Bolton because they wanted to be part of this amazing school system and this amazing community. So, you know, that pendulum works both ways.
Led by a energetic superintendent.
Okay.
Another question.
I do. I have a question because that's a huge transition. It is so exciting to get, you know, some new, fresh, young faces in there. And sounds like a lot of careers are starting here at Bolton. So that's really exciting to be part of that. However, it's a large number of teachers that have moved out. Have there been any consequences as far as programs? I know we offer things like honors programs, AP programs, and I know they require certain certifications. With the transition and everything, was there anything that had to be compromised?
Yeah.
Just
Yeah, so we had one domino to that, but it was, of course, going to be offered this year anyways. It was one of those advanced courses that we offer every other year. So one of the staff that's new to Bolton, not new to teaching, so a veteran staff that we hired from someplace else, has already said, I'm going to go for the training and be good to go for next year. So we have staff already digging in, so which is great. Fair question, though.
I have another one. In regards to the teaching itself, is it still going on? It's not. It actually wasn't a hybrid even last year, right? It was all in person, right?
We were all. In fact, this year, last year we had an MOU with the teachers union in Bolton. I'd worked carefully with the union to craft it so that kids could be learning at home vis-a-vis, you know, coming into the classroom via Google Meet. If they had, you know, if they were homesick because of COVID or whatnot, if they weren't too sick to participate, they could be at home and dialed in. The state legislature passed a law that does not allow that this year. So if a kid is sick home, like I am right now, and has to quarantine for 5 days, they're getting old-fashioned packets, like, you know, before the pandemic that we used to hand out when a kid was sick to do makeup work. So that was, from my perspective, an unfortunate element. And I understand why, because teachers, it was just a lot on teachers to be teaching the kids in front of them and trying to manage the kids at home. It was a lot. But that law, the way it's being interpreted, has a far-reaching domino effect that I hope the legislature will look at this year.
Any other observations, questions? I do have one other. You know, there's been a lot of publicity lately in regards to kids' performance in schools and as measured even by objective tests.
Mm-hmm.
And shows a substantial decline. Now, I think a lot of those systems probably were still doing either at home or a lot of at home and not all in person. Do you think the Bolton kids received an advantage as a consequence of being in person?
Well, we weren't fully, I mean, we were fully in person last year, but the year before we weren't. We were hybrid at the middle school and high school until about March. We were hybrid until October for the K-5 kids. So, you know, do we have kids with learning loss? We absolutely do, 100%. And we are digging in deep to address the needs of each individual learner and learning losses that have been identified.
Terrific. Ross has a question.
So we got new hires from what you were saying. How does that affect insurance and other costs? Because it sounds like you're saying some more expensive teachers left. And that would indicate that perhaps, you know, your wage package is lower, which may give you flexibility to do some other things with that money that would have gone to salaries. And then, as I said, so two questions, benefits, you know, insurance, and the other one around the salaries.
Yeah, so we're still in flux. So it's really hard for me to answer that right now. I'm hoping that I have a better feel for that come October, to be honest with you. But we were up and down all summer, Ross, to be honest with you. Like every Friday, I get an update from Casal and Beth as to where we were. You know, we've hired X, they took Y. You know, there were some weeks where we were in the hole for insurance, quite honestly. And I decided that I just wasn't going to sweat it at that point because every week it changed. So, and there were where I'm like, okay, we may have to cut another position based on the hirings because we also had staff that left that weren't on top step. And yep, we may have hired someone on top step to replace somebody who wasn't because we try to hire the best person for the job, not just, you know, what they cost. And quite frankly, I feel very strongly, particularly now more than ever. I mean, we should have all, we always did that, but now more than ever with learning loss being a factor, we absolutely have to do that. It can't just be about the money. It has to be about the kid from my perspective. I balance a budget, gang. I'm just saying, but I'm just telling you where that comes from. So, you know, maybe in October or November, I could give you a better feel for that.
If you could, I'll just make a note to bug you about that at our next meeting if you don't remember to bug me about it before that.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for all that information, Kristen. Any other questions or comments on item 4C? All right, then let's move right on to item 5C. I don't know if you're prepared to respond to this, Kristen, or not.
I am.
But 5C on the agenda is a list of BOE and town reductions in order to comply with the approved budgets. Do you have any information to share in that regard?
Well, so a couple of things. I also want to report on what we anticipate our unaudited return is from last year. So we had an under expenditure of $625,770. We had committed, you may recall, a total of $200,000 towards this year's budget. So we are returning an under expenditure of $425,770. That amount really was driven by our inability to receive needed goods due to the pandemic and regular ed, special education, some things not playing out last year. I want to be clear on that statement. Didn't play out last year. Some have already played out for this year that we have not budgeted for. We had less legal costs because we had two negotiations with two different unions last year, and we managed to do those off the record. So it required far less legal costs than would normally be incurred. We had an inability to utilize professional development monies because of the pandemic. And as you well know, we were not fully staffed throughout the year for significant savings in salaries, which also created some health insurance savings. So I wanted to make you all aware of that. And then in terms of the reductions that the Board of Education took, I'm sure you probably all remember that as of the fourth referendum, the Board of Education budget was reduced by $148,000. Unfortunately, as a result of that, we had to eliminate sixth grade world language at Bolton Center School. And that was the elimination of a 0.8 world language position. The benefits also associated with that position were eliminated. We did have some salary savings at this point in time in July when we were doing this of $39,000 dollars. And we also cut professional development by $28,000 for a total of $148,000. So unfortunately, because of what happened in the four referendums, we lost a program and a position.
Okay, but I still note, and you do as well, I'm sure, that you know, with the combination of all these circumstances, there's still $425,000 unspent monies, and you know, I'm sure everybody recalls, you know, my prediction months ago was that that total, without the monies that were put toward this year's budget, my estimate was about $860,000. And we're at less than $200,000, at like $425,000. But I do, as I search my memory for that, I do recall that I think it was probably as early as August this past year, we did transfer, or the Board of Ed utilized $87,000, I believe it was, from wages and salaries for other expenditures. So it does kind of push that back up in the realm of what is what my estimates were. But I do at the same time recognize there's a number of factors that went to contribute to all this. So I guess we'd say again, a job well done under very difficult circumstances. And certainly our compliments to the staff. Hopefully they feel a certain amount of relief being in a more normal environment this year.
It's great to be back with kids.
Okay. Any other comments? All right. Charlie.
I don't have the paperwork here in front of me, but I did see from the Board of Education where they talked about that $435,000 that was unexpended, is I guess the way that it's described there. And I'm thinking that it was something that was in the budget, and it just, for whatever reason, because it was a teacher position not being filled, or a health benefit not being due, or cumulative thing that had happened, that these were unexpended accounts that I'm sure are included in this year's budget for to be expended this year.
Correct.
But depending upon what happens again, even though it's an overage from last year, an unpaid or an undue, what happens to that 4-25? Does that go to
next year's budget?
It just goes in, yeah, it just stays in the general fund.
Yeah, okay. So it's something that we're going to be seeing down the road as well, as far as looking at again for budgetary purposes. So
right.
Something worth really mentioning, because as you said, I had thought your original estimates were grandiose and high, but due to the circumstances what happened this past year with COVID and everything else, $600,000 plus is still a lot of difference from what it was and to what it actually ended up being. And we may be in that position again this year coming up.
We could be. we're still having trouble getting goods. We're still having issues.
Yeah, which is also a problem, but it's the opposite kind of problem. We want to have teachers, but to be
right.
We get more money available, but I would prefer to have the teachers.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good observation.
Okay, sorry.
Any other comments or questions before we move on? Okay, so at long last, the approval of seven meetings and minutes?
Under 5C, we have to talk about the town reductions.
Oh, town reductions. Okay, yeah, right.
It won't take long.
Okay.
So we have reductions of $64,000. There's actually a sheet in your package that describes this. Recreation was cut $18,500. That was a position that when we moved our individual from the position of being a project coordinator for shared between recreation and the senior center, she got moved into the director of recreation position. That position went unfilled for the balance of last year. And we decided that with the reduction in services that are happening with recreation, we did not need to fund that this upcoming year. So there was a cut of $18,500 from recreation. We also looked at, Jill and I went back and we looked at accounts that historically had money left in them at the end of every fiscal year. And based on that, you know, we discussed reducing the fire commission their communication line item by $5,000. They agreed with that. So that was reduced by $5,000. Library payroll has typically been overfunded, so we reduced that by $5,000. The other half of the senior and social services program coordinator came out of the senior and social services budget at $14,080. We've historically had additional monies left in the budget with electricity, so we made a reduction of $10,000 there. You'll notice when we look at monies left over from the Board of Selectmen's budget that we had quite a bit of money left in tree trimming for last year. So we reduced tree trimming by $10,000. And we felt we were able to comfortably reduce 1,420 from refuse service and refuse removal. So that's where the town reductions came from.
Mapping and moving on. Where I read those, and I'm also cognizant of the, you know, continued trimming of the town side budget based upon what the actuals are coming in at, and it's good to see, and it's the way to get us for the townspeople and taxpayers to the, you know, what we really need, so that we don't have excess money sitting.
And we're going to continue to do that. As you know, we built this year's budget based on anticipated need, and like, I mean, I think we're jumping ahead in the budget, but yeah. I mean, in the agenda, but like Kristen, you know, we had positions that went unfilled last year. We had several members of our staff that were out on long-term medical leave and being paid by workers' comp, and so they, you know, right. While we still paid, you know, insurance and other benefits, we were not paying salaries. You know, I still remain doing two jobs for the price of one.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, we have some additional exposure. I can't keep it up forever. I am getting tired, but you know, so there, you know, that's where this most significant portion of our savings came from. And you know, as you, I mean, you'll look at the numbers that Joe prepared for you. But the biggest piece of our leftover monies last year came from the administration budget. We also, like Kristen, anticipate we negotiated two labor contracts in this last fiscal year, and we were able to do that without the use of a labor attorney. So you know it saved significant money there, and we, you know, last year we went into this year's budget with a 2% reduction in the administration line item. And because there was over $100,000 left in that last year, we'll look at that carefully again, you know, and make sure that, you know, we're making all the reductions where it's reasonably able to make that as we build this next year's budget. You know, that's important to do. And so we're going to continue to do that.
I have a quick question for you, Jim. What I was concerned about, one of the things, many things that I was concerned about with the budget, is where we cut areas where we're not able to supply and actually bring in revenue. And the one thing that sticks out for me is, you know, the rec position. Going forward, as I think we're all hoping next year, there may be an opportunity. Is that amount going to be added in? Do you foresee back into the?
So I can tell you, this year we were able to keep the lake open all summer.
Okay.
I asked Stephanie to provide for me a spreadsheet to tell me where we stood. We took in more money than we spent.
Okay, good.
And we had summer camp, which was a very successful program this year. And again, I asked her to prepare because, you know, we spend a lot of money on summer camp based on, you know, the staff that we hire and the programs that we provide the kids. I mean, some of these programs are just amazing and fun. Makes you want to be a kid again sometimes when you look at some of the things they're doing. And so again, I wanted to be sure that when we're, you know, giving these kinds of programs that, you know, we're at least at a break-even point. And again, we were able to take in a little more money than we spent on the program. So, you know, we're able to continue offering these kinds of robust programs. It's been a very different year than we had last year. I mean, last year, every program we did was a financial loss. And we had to, you know, felt like we had to put money into the budget and plan to fund recreation in this upcoming year, you know, based on taxpayer dollars. But, you know, we're putting back into that, you know, recreation round fund is what it's called, so that hopefully it becomes self-supporting again.
Okay.
And we're moving in that direction. It's really doing pretty well. You'll notice that, you know, they're planning trunk or treat. You know, there's going to be an activity at the farm on the 25th. Recreation has helped us with that, although it's not a recreation-sponsored activity. They're helping with that. Winterfest is going to happen again this year. We're hoping for snow for Winterfest. You know, so there's a lot of great things happening that we hadn't been able to do, that, you know, as COVID has eased up, you know, we're really able to move forward with some of these great community programs that, you know, I just think really those are the kind of programs that are just special for communities.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the summer concert series was a hit. You know, we had some really good, and, you know, we continue to get, you know, that program continues to get supported by sponsors as well. You know, so that really helps offset the cost there. But so we're doing much better. So that's a good question.
And I thank you for asking that, because I just want to just follow up on that a little bit too. I'm very glad that you're, you know, got a focus on these, you know, these activities, these amenities for the town, because not only do people come here because of our good school system, but also they're going to want to come here for the infrastructure, the public infrastructure, whether it is business, whether it is service by our town employees, whether it is these, you know, opportunities for recreation and enjoyment. And so I think that's something that we all need to keep, you know, I don't know what the balance is, but it's something that I think we should talk about more and just remember, you know, what is that balance? What is it? What is the reason that people come to our town? And, you know, schools, yes, but it's also what are the services and amenities that, you know, the Board of Selectmen, you know, also, because it's all coming out of the same pot, you know, it's all out of our taxpayers' pocket. So I think, you know, I'm glad that you're having some focus on that, because we can't just be like a stripped down town.
Yeah, I don't think that's anybody's desire.
Yeah.
It's always been, to me, anyhow, a real quality of life. led by the schools, but you know it's a wonderful town to live in. Yeah. You know, let's face it, that's why we're here.
Yeah. Charlie, I actually wanted to do kind of a combination of the two comments that I just heard. Is that number one, that the social services and the recreation department have been providing a lot of more programs that are being actively utilized by the town as well. And that's caused the success of the programs to accelerate, I think. And as part of that, you're also seeing that it's not just recreation alone, it may be recreation and social working together as different departments, or it may be recreational, library, and social working together, or social and library, and town, or Board of Education. We're talking about interplay between all the different groups, building upon success. So when I look at this and I see a reduction of the 18.5 or the 14,000 in those two departments, I'm thinking that hopefully they're being offset by the success of the programs, allowing even though these reduction in funding made because they have been successful. And because with their continued success, we will be able to not have to worry about using everything in the budget. I know, like recreation, self-supporting.
The programming has not been affected.
Yeah,
you know, and we're coming out of the COVID era where programming was significantly impacted. But you know, you'll see that there are, you know, if you look at the bulletin, the information that comes out from the library and the senior center, you'll see that there's a lot of programming that's happening. And you know, there are things that are happening that haven't happened in a couple of years. You know, and so I think it's important to note that programming, you know, we're not seeing programming impacted, you know, by the lack of that fund, you know, in their accounts. So I think that's important, Charlie.
I was wondering if you could just clarify the cut to the social services, like where's that coming from?
So there's the position that we had was cut initially with the first round when the Board of Selectmen prepared the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. That was it was actually a new position that had only been, we only had a person in it for a very short period of time. And it was a shared program director's position between senior and social services and the rec department. And so that's where, you know, so that's where those funds came from. But the other piece of it is that since we're seeing some success in the recreation department, with revenues, we're able to cut a little more from the rec department budget because they're being offset by the revenues that the rec department is seeing. And it's the first time in 2.5 years or so that we're really seeing, revenues from the rec department that are self-supporting the program.
So I think that is reflected in the amount of participation by the.
It is. Yeah, we've had, although the lake was not as busy this year as it's been in years past. When we looked at the expenses based on the income was enough to more than offset the expenses. And I think part of that was because, the rec director and my staff looked at the fees that we were charging from the lake, and the board of selectmen at one of their meetings before the lake opened this year did decide to increase the fees a little bit, which certainly helped. I think because of COVID, we didn't sell season passes because that became very difficult in the past. People bought a season pass, the lake closes either because of blue-green algae, and then they get upset because they paid for a full year pass and the lake's not open. So we only sold day passes this year. So I think that also helped with success. I'm not sure why, but, somebody shined on us this year. We didn't have any lake closures, which is very positive. We did have to spend some money on treatment of the lake early in the season for curly pond weed. But we had a good year. Sure. We really did. It was a good summer.
Sure. Good comeback. Okay. I think we may have
we kind of went a little agenda
and stuff. And we have seven meetings worth of minutes to approve. Put out a special plea through Jill and ask that all members try to read through the minutes and see if they had any corrections or whatever. My hope would be that if we don't have too many, I made one note only, that we might be able to do a lot of these in mass, but maybe the easiest way to do this with that hope in mind would be to just ask the members one by one here if they have a particular meeting that they feel needs to be amended.
I do. And it was the meeting that you were absent on that had questions about. It was for May 25th. And overall, so the audio is there. If the audio wasn't there, I'm not really sure I would approve the minutes. Mainly because we were talking about cuts, and due to our charter, Emily did specifically mention that cuts had to be made. And that led into my statement. If you look at Kate Gorley feels that cut needs to be on the town side. And that isn't entirely accurate because I re-listened to it. And what I did say was the larger amount needs to come from the town funds. Just because I wasn't just talking about just cutting from the town. I said that both sides need to be cut. And I think that is that does need to be corrected. There was also
Before you go on, you want to suggest the correction?
Yes, I'd like to suggest that Kay Gorley feels that the larger amount needs to come from the town side.
Wait a second, I'm sorry. Nobody taking notes, right?
Yeah. I had to find the. So it's in the lower paragraph on the first page.
Top paragraph up here.
That's a larger cut?
Yeah, larger amount.
It's mainly that first sentence at the top, right? Does it want all of the
cuts like to be from the second top. Sentence on the last paragraph?
Yeah. And then there was one other spot on here. It was about people moving to town. Gosh, excuse me, guys. Oh, because that is what most people move to Bolton for. So if you turn the page and you look at the third row down, because the school is what most people, that is actually a lot of people. I didn't say most people, so that does need to be changed as well.
Any other corrections or observations regarding May 25?
I have one.
Okay, please fire away.
Let me find it.
Hang on. Yep.
I got it. June 8.
Under the initial public participation, last line, I was quoted as saying that that on all referendums, not just decide to vote on the last one, because even a no vote is a non-vote. I think what I said was, because a non-vote is a no vote. That was reversed here.
So we should say even a non-vote is a no vote? Or just say because a non-vote is a no-vote.
I think it should be because a non-vote is a no-vote.
Yeah, so noted. Any other observations or corrections? I have one for June 22.
You want me to find that one?
Okay.
Which is probably going to be the last one. I'm going to try and next to my
head. Okay. 4C. We just have a spelling check here.
Okay.
So top of the page, go down.
Third sentence in the middle.
Yeah, down to the fourth, third line, saying everyone should be cognizant. That should be cognizant.
Yep.
Be the proper spelling.
Sounds very Italian.
I know.
Cognizant.
Was that it, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Any other comments on any other meeting minutes? Okay, so I'd like to, number one, have a motion that we accept the modifications and changes as proposed by various board members for the meeting notes of May 25, June 8, and 22.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion in a second. All those in favor, say aye by saying aye.
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 Okay. I would like to ask for a motion now to approve all seven minutes for the seven meetings in question.
I will gladly make a motion to approve all seven meeting minutes.
I would second that. I do have a comment, though.
Okay.
On the April 21st, I think you had some strikeouts, corrections that were made. And yeah. What we did was we made those corrections, and we're voting now to approve those amendments. We were previously this is to formally approve those changes, as I understand. So I would, if you worded it, it should be worded as amended and as presented.
Okay.
Tonight.
And.
Okay, so I make an amendment to approve, what is it, all corrections from past minutes and the minutes we just reviewed.
And any amendments.
And any what?
Any amendments.
And any amendments, yes.
Okay, so we'll do it again.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second, okay. And all those in favor, signal it. Sorry, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The minutes for 3 months or 4 months are approved. Okay, thank you. We'll go back into the regular order. Item four, elected official and town staff reports, town election summary. Jim, are you going to handle that? Or
yeah, I will defer to Pam on anything she wants to report on. Otherwise, I will move forward with it. You got anything, any comments you want to make about? Okay. So, you know, part of this is the tax collection summary, which you have in your packet, which Lori has provided you. We have one that is dated 6/30/22, and it shows the previous year collections, and we really did very, very well. I can tell you that in your second page, where she has, you know, started collecting taxes for this year, she is also very much on track for tax collection. Our second billing will be going out here very shortly. So, you know, currently she is at 96.82% of collections for this fiscal year.
Would you say the difference?
96.82% percentage collected in FY23 budget.
Okay, I'd like to back up just for a moment, if I might.
Yes. If you want to ask about refunds, right?
Tax collection summary. So in on June 30, 2021, we had 100.33. And we, as of June 30, 2022, we had 100.39. So the revised budget that revenues that we were looking at were 17.926,438, and the net collection 17,995,000. So roughly $70,000 more than we anticipated in the revised.
So that probably a lot has to do with the change in valuation of automobiles. Right. So
with the higher
values of automobiles.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
And we also had
we had back taxes. Some significant back taxes were collected. See, we did need you.
And as you were mentioning, the tax collector report run onto 831, right?
Yeah.
831/22.
If you look at that, you know, same percentage collected, we're at 96.82% of projected revenues have been collected for this fiscal year. As you recall, you know, we were able to send out tax bills for the full amount of motor vehicle taxes, but a supplemental tax bill is going out for, you know, personal property and real estate. Right.
So right now, you might think that that's going to be another positive for us this year.
Right. I mean, right now she's saying that, which, you know, she's collected 17,418,940.19.
Right.
That's what she's collected to as of 8/31/22.
Which is only 20,000. Oh, I'm sorry.
Which is about 20. Well, not quite. Maybe not about 19,000 less than this time last year.
Which was unfettered in regards to all these other things.
Right.
I see that as good news again. All right, last way. Okay.
And so beyond that, similar to the Board of Education, we've expended about just under 6% of our budget for this year. We are showing, I think, on one page here is showing that a line item that we are watching. Well, that's the fire marshal showing a revised budget. But the next page, Bob, you'll see this shows what is expensed year to date. And the flag for us right now is with elections. We're, basically a quarter way through the year. We've got a November election date coming up. We've expensed 23.95% of our budget. So we need to be pretty careful with that budget and make sure that it does not get overexpensed. Okay. You're missing, you don't seem to have found the page, but I'll show you mine.
So which page?
Oh, here it is, I'm sorry.
You would be kind enough just to mention which page.
I don't have a page number.
Oh, okay. August 29th.
Yeah, on the upper left-hand corner, it says August 29th, 2022.
Okay, got it.
And so this shows as of August 29th, 2022, where our expenses were at for the various departments.
Uh-huh.
What our encumbrances are, what the balance is, what the unexpended amount in each account is, and what the percentage we've expensed is. And it shows you also and for fiscal year 2021 and 22, what we had expensed for those departments at the same time during those years.
Can I ask a question, actually, since we're two experts here on this? What is going to be the expected cost of the election since we do have the two for the midterms, since we have the two locations?
So I don't know the number.
You said for the primaries?
Yeah.
The number that I heard is that it was approximately 8,000, I think, for the primaries. I'm not sure. I can't say that, quote that, but that's the number that I heard, mentioned. So don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And that's because it's two districts rather than
just, right.
We're stuck. 14.
What is?
But no, for both primary and.
Okay. Yeah. Because that's what we're expecting is something I know in that general area. And the challenge, again, that we have this year is because of redistricting, which we have no control over. It's going to be twice as much for going forward for hiring people to man the polls and do all that stuff. There's nothing we can do about it. Same thing when we have a primary, it's the double because it's effectively a Republican and a Democratic election in each of the two districts. So we're doing what we can, where there isn't any requirement, like with the primaries, we did look at, there's some things that don't really require to have two-party representation doing a job. So where we could, we left that as one person, but there's some like the assistant registrars you have to have. And same thing with absentee ballot counting. You really want to have, different parties looking at the absentee ballots to make sure that we're both seeing the same things. So that's really the challenge.
Right. And this is the first year we're dealing with that. Yeah, our registrars anticipated this and built the budget. The budget is significantly higher than it was the year previous because they didn't anticipate this. But it's their first experience with it.
Correct.
So we're trying to work with them, to help them to make sure that we can make this budget work.
We're not going to need any machines or anything. We're not going to be seeing anything like that.
No, we had the cameras who just had maintenance stones. One from the four categories to six because we needed, one for the Republicans, and then you have two spares, one for each district. and both we needed both spares because they both died. We had two machines die because of the heat.
Okay.
So we just had all the maintenance. We got six machines that are good to go. There's no anticipation that we would need to buy anything.
Okay.
You know, at this moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the machines are close to 20 years old.
Right. You just, that's why I said, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, literally, yeah. Because it's, we don't know what's going to happen with them. Even though they were maintained, they all went through with flying colors. We don't know.
Okay.
Because they're old.
I was just hitting stride at 20.
We had one bar from Vernon. And we gave it back to them. It was a bad one. It's one of theirs that died. So they got that back, and then we have one that's ours for good now. And I think the only other thing we may need is one more ballot box. You know, the big thing the tabulator sits up on. Because we have three right now. And again, we have to have a beginning primary.
But that's not a good expense.
I don't know the cost, I can't say.
Okay.
It's cheaper than the tabulator.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Okay.
So
this is cheap because you're certain vendors and then they have certain specs you have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on this stuff, so some of this for purchasing things, there is discretion in some places, and other places there isn't.
Right. But it's one of those things we have to watch and try to work within the budget, you know, to the best of our ability. When we're at this point, you know, because the problem is, right, we have the primary, and now Ross is telling us we might have to have a second one.
Which we just right. found out.
We which certainly we didn't fund for that.
No, we didn't.
Right.
And when the secretary probably mentioned that, he was going through some case law, this came up. Consider that we mentioned.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It'll possibly be by, you know, the end of this, you know, September.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, it's the right that people have to challenge, and some of this is also because there was one election. I don't know if it's local or not, but first time was three votes in favor of one candidate. They did a recount. It was in favor of the other by one. They did another recount, and then it went back to the original three in favor of the first candidate. So I think that one, and I do not remember what, you know, where, but that's one of the issues. And then there's another challenge by our Republican candidate of, you know, what happened with his being endorsed by the independent party. And but I don't think that should affect us because I think it's just changing a name, removing a name on the ballot. We can always put that.
Yeah,
but there is a possibility of another primary. So
right
again, completely out of our control.
So you know, the end of the day, we'll work with our team to try to work within the budget that's approved, and then you know you'll see a number of transfers to close out the fiscal year 22. You have a list of those. Most of them were pretty small. The most significant one was for refuse services, which, you know, had an increased cost that we had to deal with. All the others were pretty small. Fire department moved some money around to leverage some funds to get a hold of some things that got caught out of this upcoming year's budget. So, and then we had, you know, one transfer for this fiscal year, which was other payroll to building and land use, because we did hire a temporary employee during the absence of our assistant building official, was now back, but unfortunately was out for medical leave for a while. So unless you have any questions, that will conclude my report.
Any other questions or comments? Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Detailed explanations all the way through. And the same accolade for the Board of Ed and Kristen Pecht. I believe that we have satisfied all items under four, which would move us on to five, new business. Discussion and possible action, appointment of new Board of Finance member. Some of you might have noted that the erstwhile vice chair has been running this meeting because our chair is absent for tonight. We're going to get into that a little bit more in a moment. But I think taking our agenda in order, appointment of new Board of Finance member, I have in front of me a letter from the Bolton Democratic Town Committee, signed by the chair, John Toomey, indicating that they have made a decision to recommend Amanda Gordon to fill what is now a vacancy on the Board of Finance. And Amanda's with us here tonight. I know that this satisfies at least one requisite. Did the Board of Selectmen have to approve this appointment too?
If you do not, it falls to them.
Fall back to the Board of Selectmen, but it is your purview at the moment, and it's having a candidate that you approve.
Okay, so we have spoken. I have spoken on Amanda's behalf previously at other meetings. I've had some history with her and can recommend her for this role and the town, and I welcome her enthusiastic participation. Any other comments by the other board members at this point?
I'll make a few comments. Amanda has my full recommendation and support. I think we have all taken notice that she has been highly active and one of our very few public participants that has shown up on a regular basis, which I think we all appreciate. She is certainly in tune with the needs of the town. She's been following the meetings, the challenges that we've had, and she is up to speed and ready to jump in, I have no doubt. So she does have my full support.
We didn't scare you away then.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we need to have a motion on the table.
I was going to see if there were any other comments here first. I guess you're right.
The only other comment I'd make is for the sense of just saying in general, not that I don't approve of you. And we have received no other requests for consideration.
I'm not aware of any either, Charles.
It's much easier. Yes,
that said,
I make a motion to approve Amanda Gordon as a new Board of Finance member to replace Emily Bradley.
And I'll second. Second by Ross. And we've actually kind of preempted it with our own discussion already, so I'm just going to call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No? Okay. Pass unanimously. I think her next move is to go, you have to get to the...
Be sworn in.
The town clerk and get sworn in. It's a scary moment, but I'm sure you...
next month.
Okay, so... moving right along, that brings us to election of officer. This move is being predicated on the fact that Emily Bradley, who's been our chair now for, I believe, two full years, or almost two full years, has had to resign from the board because she has become a full-time employee of the town, more specifically the Board of Education. And a very necessary math teacher. I'm sure she'll do extremely well at that. And she'll be an asset, continue to be an asset to the town. So I've certainly enjoyed working with her as a board member and wish her nothing but good luck in that regard.
I'd also just like to, just recognize her service in the part, because I always thought she was very fair in how she, ran things, and I always felt she listened to everybody, gave everybody a chance to speak, and it's a tough job.
I appreciated all the effort she took into doing her position, too. All the time that she spent attending the meetings, gathering information, presenting it to the board. in a manner that, like you said, is fair and equitable too, without prejudice to Saint as well. She's an asset we're going to be losing, but the Board of Education benefits from it.
Absolutely. Now, Kristen actually has something that Emily wanted to have read into the record, I believe.
So Emily's words, even though she could not be here tonight, she says, to the members of the Board of Finance, the Board of Selectmen, the Board of Education, the town employees, starting this fall, I took full-time teaching position at Bolton High School. Because of the conflict of interest, I have resigned from the Board of Finance. Serving the past 6+ years on the Board of Finance has been a great experience. I have met and worked with some amazing people, and I am sad to have to leave the Board of Finance, but know that it is in good hands. I have enjoyed working with all of you over these past years. Good luck with the upcoming fiscal year budget season and transition to the new finance committee. I look forward to seeing you all around town. And I am sorry to say that I could not be there in person, but she had an open house tonight. So over at the Board of, Board of Finance, over at Bolton High School. So she was still thinking of everything.
Any other comments any of the board members like to share at this point?
Can I just say something, Bob?
Surely.
I appreciate all the work that Emily did, especially while we were transitioning to, you know, online meetings in the middle of the pandemic and keeping that up and running, because that was no easy task. And I am delighted that she is a member of the public school staff. I'll just offer that. Thank you.
Did you hear that? Pam's blaming you.
I said that tonight.
Just smile.
Oh.
Congratulations, Kristen.
Very excited.
Okay. So I've been informed by the Republican Town Committee that they have indicated that they would like to have a new chairman appointed, and the candidate that they have that they would like is Ross Lally, a present member of our board. I've had the opportunity to speak with Ross, and he is wants to accept that role.
I know that other people feel the same way.
And I, from my part, I would just say good luck.
He doesn't want to run the Zoom meeting.
I had threatened to learn how to do the Zoom meetings, but I tell you what, I've just been having too much fun, quite frankly, and I just haven't gotten around to do it. So I'm sure you're going to be skillful at it.
Say all that. Let's see if anybody wants me in the job.
Yeah.
So we need to make a motion for that, or do we?
I think you should. Yes.
I think you should, and second it, and all that other good stuff, and then see how it goes.
Okay, I think
I would be willing to make that motion that the next chairman for the Board of Finance be Ross.
Wow.
Let's finish it.
Yeah.
I second that. Any other comments at this point? Then I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm sorry.
I'm just voting for myself, too. Aye.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can do that. So motion carries unanimously. Congratulations, Ross.
Thank you all. And I just say, Kristen Hecht, I'll be reaching out to you when you feel like you can talk so we can get to know each other better. Same thing, Jim. I think I know you all well, but we got to talk money and all that other stuff too. And the same thing with, the Board of Selectmen. And the only comment I want to just tell you what I really struggle with when we have these meetings is we keep saying Board of Education and the town of Bolton. And we're all the town of Bolton. And I just, that's the part that I struggle with. You know, we get to say Board of Selectmen and Board of Education because we're all the town. And this is what, that's the only thing I want to just say right off the bat. And then I'll let you, you know, finish up the meeting and close it. But that's one thing I do want to just work on, is just making sure we all remember and can say it, is that we're all part of the town. And all the money comes from our taxpayers that we are trusted to make sure it gets spent, you know, correctly. And it's a real balancing act. So just acknowledging that all up front. So let's just try to remember we're all the same town.
Well, and I will say along those lines, and I love in the pipe in here, you know, Kristen and I don't see ourselves as separate entities. We just have separate budgets that we have to operate with. Yeah. But we work, you know, very collaboratively on a number of projects. And, you know, we, you know, Kristen is very quick to reach out whenever she needs something. I'm also very quick to reach out. And I think, you know, the finance staff on the Board of Selectmen side and Board of Education side have built some collaboration under the new leadership in the last year and a half that I think is encouraging. So, and we believe that that is just going to continue to improve and get stronger as time moves forward.
I agree. Yes. And Ross, I look forward to having us spend some quality time together, and you get your running shoes on, sir, because I'm going to take you through those schools.
That completes our agenda. We actually accomplished everything we had to accomplish, including the final approval of 7 meetings worth of minutes, finally. With that said, Ross's comment in mind, this meeting's adjourned.
And you do have meeting dates for your next 3 meetings at the bottom of your agenda. Those dates are October 20th, November 17th, and December 15th, and somewhere I think between October and November we have to schedule a 3 board meeting, right? Is it October, November, Kristen?
Yes.
So we will look to
probably you guys should shoot for October.
So we will be looking to collaborate on a date for the 3 board meeting, which is Board of Finance, Board of Education, and Board of Selectmen.
And just to let an email about that. Because, I mean, if our next meeting's on the 20th, we wouldn't be taking part in deciding that, right?
It's come out via email in the past.
Okay. Yeah, I think our charter says not sooner than October 1st and maybe not later than November 15th. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
So and within that 45 days, we've got to have our 3 board meeting.
I just want to let everybody know I will not be at the October 20th meeting, likely.
That's unfortunate for us, but hopefully whatever you're up to, it's certainly not going to be still being sick.
No, better.
Thanks for sticking with us, Kristen.
Yeah, thanks for guys. Tonight.
I appreciate it.
That's circumstances.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Thank you. All
right, everybody.
Yep. As we're adjourned, I'm going to stop the recording.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So once you get sworn at, then.